isn't working. What's going on here? And obviously nothing happened around that time. But then, as I've said so often, 6 months later, we have the Snowden NSA stuff.
Mm.
And that was something that normally up until June 2013, guys like you and I talking about this would have been conspiracy theorists.
Mm-hmm.
And it was widely available. Everybody who did their homework knew the NSA was doing this, but the people who hadn't done their homework would laugh at us. And one of the things that our government, American government in particular, has been really good at is making themselves appear incompetent so that the Joe Sixpacks out there would say, well, they don't have it together enough to keep something secret. Well, they sure did with the NSA.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that's the only thing there is to know, the secret, you're greatly mistaken. So I believe that what we're seeing now in the world is the formula of the precursor events before we get disclosure, before we get the exposure of the negative elite, and before we get this sudden quantum leap. And you mentioned, you know, synchronicity key, and so that gives you a great edge in interviewing me over others because you understand my whole hypothesis, which is that there is a blueprint to human evolution called the hero's journey, and it's playing out every time you watch a movie. You have to have this in your screenplay in Hollywood or you're not going to sell the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes a lot longer than a movie when you see it in the world, but it's the same thing. The hero has to face off against the villain, and ultimately the villain is vanquished, and that's what's happening now. It's just taking a lot longer than a movie.
And nothing is truer than growth individually and collectively only comes from slaying that dragon, so to speak. We're going to continue with David Wilcock after the break. It is What in the World? Canada Talks, Sirius XM, channel 167. And welcome back to the show. We are with our guest, David Wilcock, who will be at Contact in the Desert this weekend, May 29th to June 1st. The books are Source Field Investigations, The Synchronicity Key. The television show is on Gaia TV. We'll talk to David a little bit more about that. That song that just played, Salisbury Hill by Peter Gabriel, and I'm guessing, I think we're from the same era, David, musically especially, and it's interesting. I liked that song for many, many years, and only, let's say, in the last 5 years did I actually listen to the lyrics to the point where I realized that he's talking about some sort of, you know, whatever you want to call it, coming and sort of, quote-unquote, taking this guy home. And it's interesting because then I saw Peter Gabriel for like the fifth time, I believe, last year or the year before here in Toronto. And he's playing the song, and all of a sudden, at the end, there he's got literally a flying saucer, you know, sort of attached to the ceiling that comes down and essentially takes him home. You know, no ambiguity about it, you know, where he's, you know, again, it's not like, well, I'm not sure what he means there. And again, I haven't sat down with him, but he's a pretty cool, interesting guy and pretty pretty all over it, so to speak. But again, this abundance of references outside. We talked about Last Mimsy earlier. And, you know, I remember that I didn't even know what that movie was about. And I went and saw it with my girlfriend at the time. And we were just blown away because we were both all into this. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, because what really impacted me from that movie was the beginning and the end. The movie was great, and I liked the whole movie. But what I mean by impacted is that I actually find myself returning to watch on YouTube the last, let's say, 3 or 4 minutes. And it's not necessarily a spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie, but if you don't want to hear about it, block your ears. But what overwhelms me emotionally, especially when I saw it the first time, was this the idea of the after, so to speak, right? We talk a lot about the before, which is at the present. We talk a lot about, you know, the impending quantum leap or disclosure or whatever, but we don't often talk about what that world looks like beyond this particular, you know, sort of evolutionary period. And the way they had, you know, this beautiful sort of classroom out in the middle of a field, And the teacher was communicating with the kids, you know, telepathically, and it was just and then they at the end of their day they just get up and float away and fly off, and you know that could have been done really poorly and looked really cheesy, but for me anyways it was utterly and completely beautiful because I can really absolutely believe and imagine and envision that world, that future. When you think about, or I don't know, I'd be curious, how much do you think about being beyond all of wherever we are now and what that other new world sort of looks like to David Wilcock?
Well, let's just rewind a little bit because you played the song Salisbury Hill, and you got me again on that one. I have spent, gosh knows, 150 hours working on that song on the guitar.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, at least 150 hours, and it's got a very strange, it's very difficult. If you listen to the opening lines of it, Robert Fripp wrote that guitar piece, and it's extremely fast and extremely complex, and you have to bar the second, third, and fourth string on the second fret with your index finger, and then you got to hammer on and pull off two fingers below that. It goes through like A major 7 and all these funky variations of A. And I've spent an incredible amount of time on that. And then when you not only played it but then started to discuss it, I'm like, whoa, okay, we're two for two here.
We are connected here, David, it seems.
I've only worked on maybe five or six pieces that intensely, and that's one of them. So that was very impressive.
Well, and again, one of my favorite artists out there. But yes.
I mean, Peter Gabriel is definitely world-class, and I think both he and Phil Collins had such a huge effect. They were in Genesis together, and then they went their separate ways, and both of them became way more successful on their own. There are various pieces that do seem to have this theme in it. Phil Collins has some, too. There's a song where he sings Take Me Home, and it's all in there.
Love
the classic Led Zeppelin album, Physical Graffiti, is loaded with Ascension references that I don't think Robert Plant was conscious of. So is Stairway to Heaven. Stairway to Heaven is definitely an Ascension song. So there's a lot of this stuff that's kind of, there's little nuggets throughout our history that have kind of been pointing towards this. And now it is all reaching ahead. You mentioned Les Mimsy, and I had the very rare privilege of being able to read the original screenplay before they went and messed it all up.
Wow.
And remember, this is a guy who's written some movies that have been so influential, like Contact. And I can tell you that the original version of Les Mimsy is way more badass than what they turned it into.
Mm.
And it was incredible because it's almost a horror movie in the original version.
Really?
And what's happening, because these kids are basically turning into some kind of new type of human being. And it's a lot more visible. They're like, you know, their faces are changing, their bodies are changing, and their telekinesis and their powers get more and more intense as the movie goes on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's scary. It's like the family doesn't know what's happening to their kids and whether their kids are going to be okay. And then this payoff ending is so huge. But then what happens is whoever did the rewrite took like all of the psychic powers that the kids developed over the course of the movie and give the kids all those powers in the first 15 minutes. Then the kids don't get, there's nothing really that scary about it. And then they added in this whole weird thing that wasn't originally in there about people from the future needing our genetic material in order to keep themselves going. That was not part of the original screenplay.
Oh, really?
So this is an example of where I think whoever bought the movie had a predetermined agenda of what kind of information they wanted to have come across, and they found a script that was close, and then they just sort of modified it to their needs. They made it more kid-friendly, and they added this whole element that was not in the original story at all.
Did you see Jupiter Ascending?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was, and I think we might have talked about this because, again, I mean, at the top of the list of people that are seemingly trying to send us some smoke signals are the Wachowskis. And yep. I liked Cloud Atlas. I didn't mind Cloud Atlas the way a lot of people didn't like it. I actually saw it multiple times in the theater. But Jupiter Ascending was awful. I mean, from top to bottom, I couldn't believe it. And I wanted to sort of, not just cinematically, but where did they fall off on because initially, when I see the trailer, I'm like, holy mackerel, look what they're talking about. They're talking about, sort of advanced beings beyond this planet having deeds to Earth, owning the, you know, the herd, so to speak, talking about, and I'm like, oh, wow, they're giving up a lot of the, let's say, the whatever, the Anunnaki or whatever the sort of your theory would be on the idea of genetic modification, et cetera. And then you get to the movie, and not only does it not even, it barely goes down that road in any significant way, but the movie's terrible. What was your takeaway?
Well, again, we're dealing with a worldwide cult that is putting out propaganda through movies. They have almost unlimited funding because they can print dollars out of thin air in the Federal Reserve. So it's a very big adjustment curve for people. It's going to be very upsetting. There's going to be a great sadness and a great shock among people once we get disclosure. Everybody thinks disclosure is going to be amazing. There's going to be some really upsetting things we're going to learn, and folks like you and me are helping people who are going to be able to help others adjust to this new reality as this stuff comes out. Because, look, it's a simple fact that there has been an organized group of people who actually believe that Lucifer is the good guy and that Christianity is misguided, and they're still angry at Christians. I just watched a movie the other night called Kingsmen.
I just saw, I mean, this is outrageous. I just saw
wax a whole entire Christian church full of people, does a mass murder while they're playing rock and roll music and acting like it's funny.
I just saw the movie 2 days ago, David, which is crazy because it's been out for 3 months, and I didn't think when I saw the trailer it was anything special. Then a friend of mine that's kind of on this wavelength was like, no, you got to see it. They're talking about brain implants. They're talking about all this other crazy stuff. And sure enough, I went and saw it. I was blown away.
It's an encyclopedia of the Illuminati. That film is you should actually, like, once there's Illuminati studies departments in colleges after this whole thing comes out in the open, people are going to go back, and it will be your assignment, your final exam, is to write a term paper on how many Illuminati things he managed to squeeze into that movie. It's unbelievable. And some of the ones people miss is, notice at the beginning you got Michael Caine, the leader of the Kingsmen. Notice the bottle of whiskey or brandy that he's got, and notice that it is in the shape of the Masonic pyramid or Masonic triangle. And then at the end, they drink from that bottle, and it's a very, very key scene because it turns out that the bottle has a lethal... Well, I shouldn't give that away, but...
Mm-hmm. But I mean...
the bottle is...
Yeah.
So they... Oh, my gosh, you're right. It's... Everybody gets a SIM card, right? Everybody gets a SIM card where they have free internet and free telephone. But then it turns out that the SIM card can allow them to remote control people, and it's there is all kinds of open talk about depopulation.
Yes, that's the other
movie.
Yes.
And what they do at the end is they actually show President Obama's head blowing up along with all the other world leaders, which is another one of their things. They are very much against the conventional elected governments. They have a very sardonic view of them as sort of like the fall guys for their plan. So it just that alone was so subversive, showing all these world leaders' heads blowing up at the end of the movie.
But
and making it a big joke.
And quite overt, though, in the talk about the person, because again, I'm a big fan of people talking more about collectivism. I know Paul Hillier and I disagreed on that, in that I think you and I are a little more aligned on the fact that it isn't as easy as just there's some evil, you know, sort of Mr. Burns, Count Chocula type guys in a room that are like, ha 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 ha. Everybody kind of believes they're doing what's, you know, the most noble or the best thing, and therefore the end justifies the means. And in the case of the depopulation crowd, they absolutely believe, justifiably in their opinion, that, you know, the human species is a virus and the only way to save the planet. So it's always very difficult and complex. It's not as easy as bad or good. We're going to talk to David a little bit about that on our last segment. It is What in the World, Sirius XM, Canada Talks, Channel 167. Welcome back. It's our last segment with David Wilcock. Again, it flies by. It feels like we just started. I could do 4 hours straight and probably not come close to the tip of the iceberg. But again, we'll talk about upcoming work and contact in the desert at the end. But it is, I think I know I've learned that the prognostication game is ultimately futile because there's too many variables that we are yet to understand. And like in our own lives, we often can only understand after the fact. Oh, that's why that happened, etc. And I think that's probably the way things will ultimately work out, where we will look back on a bunch of different things and understand that had to happen first before this was to happen. And however this sort of grand machinations of the plan work, etc. But, you know, like we said before, there seems to be no doubt that there is an accelerated movement towards what? I mean, singularity? In some people's minds, an existential apocalyptic event? Is it a quantum leap in evolution? Not sure what it is, but it seems to be the end of something and the beginning of something else. I think that's the fairest way to say it. But between now and then, you know, there's all sorts of possibilities about where things could go. You're looking out the window these days or watching the news, and, you know, you're seeing the same thing as I am, the ISIS stuff, the Russia stuff. It seems like, they're ramping up a new Cold War. They're really ramping up the stuff. Where do you sit on the sort of where their plan, that plan sits, and what are you expecting over the next year, 18 months?
I am expecting that everything that we think we know is going to be completely rewritten in the face of new information. I have had the distinct honor and privilege of speaking to insiders, in many cases fighting hard to find these people, and from these insiders I've learned that since the late 1930s, beginning with Nazi Germany, we have built bases on other worlds like the Moon and Mars in our solar system, and that was significantly expanded beginning in the 1950s and thereon. Our government, if you want to call it that, which is really the military-industrial complex, has widespread relations with a whole bunch of different ETs. We have technology that is so vastly ahead of what's out there in the mainstream that when that technology comes into our hands, it's literally going to put us right in the front seat of any of the greatest sci-fi movies we've seen. All the stuff that you see in the sci-fi movies is technology we already have right now. Many of the ETs you see in sci-fi movies are based on people who are really out there, including Jupiter Ascending and the reptile guys that were in there and all that stuff. So they don't have wings, actually. That was one distortion, but they look very similar. So there's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's very interesting to me because it's going to be gradual, and it has been gradual for a long time, but it's not going to stay gradual. There's going to have to be a point where the whole thing breaks apart and where there's a big tsunami of data that comes our way. And I have been in contact now through this insider, Corey Good, with this alliance that is actually defeating the bad guys, both in space and here on Earth, because there's a war going on in space as well. Good guys versus bad guys. It's the same stuff. So what we're seeing is a geopolitical battle taking place on Earth that is reaching its apex. And again, similar to a coup in a third world country, you don't really see the coup until it happens. There's a few little signposts that something's going on, but nobody really gets it until the event takes place and the existing regime is overthrown. It seems like the regime that's being overthrown in this case is the international banking cartels and how they've been systematically raping the public. It's not so much an elected government as it is a systemic change. But there will be a point where this whole thing is going to break down. I mean, it was just announced, and it was on the front page of Huffington Post in the last week, 261, I think I'm getting the number right, it's somewhere around that, 261 top public officials in Great Britain were pedophiles.
Yeah.
That is a precursor. If you're reading the tea leaves, that's leading up to something.
Guardian has really pushed that story as well in the UK, which surprised me.
Yeah, and I was reading comments of Americans reading this article, and they know there's a story there. They're like, what in the heck is going on here? the average person is not going to go seek out children for sexual gratification. There's something going on here. There's something we're not hearing. So they're figuring it out. They're putting it together. And, you know, you got to look at all these different clues. And people don't want to do this because they don't want to be labeled as crazy. They don't want social stigma. They don't want to face the fear. But the bad guys have said that if we are not willing to look at what's going on, then we deserve to be their slaves.
And I would say that would be, you know, sort of consistent with that mindset. And what I would also say is that the more I sort of move along this path, I would also say that not everybody is supposed to. I've been reading a lot of Gurdjieff, and I really like where he comes from on a lot of things. But I think at the end of the day, and again, we'll probably understand it on the other side better at some point. But not, I mean, clearly we're all some sort of, you know, unified, interconnected organism, and everything in the body has a different role. Not everything's supposed to pump blood. Not everything's supposed to, you know, kick soccer balls or whatever it is. And whatever the role is of the people who are seeing through the veil, so to speak, and to spread to whomever is ready to absorb that, and the people who aren't, that is just how it is. It seems to me that that's always going to be a small percentage, lead to a critical mass, and then the rest is taken care of by 100 monkey theory, tipping point, etc. Unfortunately,
if your whole body was made of white blood cells, it wouldn't be able to function.
Yeah, perfect analogy. And if you want to hear more of that, obviously, I don't know if there's tickets left, David, but go to the site for Contact in the Desert. The books are Source Field Investigations, Synchronicity Key. Google them, get online, and blow yourself away, because they're two of the best books out there in this field. And again,
well, find the
television show on Gaia TV. David Wilcock, the website is divinecosmos.com. And again, if you got a toe in the water, or you're immersed in this space, either way, David Wilcock is somebody that can shepherd you through this and help you keep your sanity. Keep up the good work, David, and enjoy the weekend.
Thank you, Richard. I really appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, take care.